Welcome to the universe we call home, as well as others. Here, we collide the universes of fact and fiction. Are you ready to take it to the max? Hello everyone, welcome back to the max. Max here. Zach, how's it going?
I'm doing really good today, Max. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Today we get to talk about one of my favorite things to talk about.
Yes, this is a very strange but fun topic at the same time. And if you can tell by the title, we're here to debunk flat earth claims, or claims that are made by flat earthers.
And just the whole flat earth cult idea.
Yeah, the cult that is.
Exactly. It is a entire cult, and there's no arguing with that.
Yeah.
And obviously you can't say they don't understand science, because some of them do, but it's just a stupid... They just don't...
Most of them don't.
They don't interpret it in the right way anyway, so... Yeah. Let's get into this.
There's a lot to get into today. Yeah, we're not messing around. We're just going to dive right in.
So just
before we dive right in, actually, I'll just give a quick layout of the episode so far. So in the first half of this episode, we'll bring up their model. We will describe, what they think the Earth is and how they think it works. And then in the second half, we'll also bring up all of these outrageous claims that they propose. But also in this first half, we're going to debunk a lot of their claims. But then in the second half, we'll just tell you about all the outrageous stuff that really you don't need a scientist to tell you. That's just plain dumb.
And possibly in the first or second half, depending on the time, we'll show you how to actually prove it for yourself. Obviously, test this for yourself. And if anything we say sounds stupid, make sure to email us at tothemaxpodcast09@gmail.com. Little plug right there. Please do it. We really want an email. Email us about anything. Questions, please. Anything. Yeah, God.
We'll answer them for you, please.
We need something. With that being said, let's get right into this.
Just get right into it.
Okay. So, Zach, please summarize what flat earthers are to me. Please.
Well, a flat earther, someone who thinks the earth is flat, but no, we are not still in, ancient times or in the medieval era.
The thing is... Any ancient people had already figured this out, Zach.
The Greeks knew it.
The Greeks knew it. Why do we even still believe in this stuff?
That's true.
We are so stupid.
Well, yeah. Before we'll talk about the Greeks in just a sec, but the flat earthers say their basic premises is Earth is flat. Government is not trustworthy. I don't believe anything they will tell me. NASA is a scam.
What did they say? Money laundering? I've heard money.
Money laundering. Moon landing was fake. Everything. Every photo NASA has ever took. Is edited, but their only evidence are edited photos themselves, so it's kind of contradicting there, but let's just get into the discovery of the round earth back in ancient times when the Greeks first discovered it themselves.
Well, there's several things that I'll bring up more detail, because I've already thought about these, but just some things to start off. Two things that the Greeks had readily available to them were shadows and stars. So we'll start off with shadows and the three-well problem.
Yeah. Can I go to the three-well? I really like the three-well problem.
Okay, gotcha.
So, all right. So let's say if you have something just flat around you, like a board or maybe just like a piece of paper, if you put a light above that piece of paper, the light will shine down equally on all of the pieces of paper, correct? Right? Yeah. The light will hit all the pieces of paper.
Yeah.
So... If you were to, say, dig a well and make a hole, right?
In all three pieces of paper?
In three different places on that paper, then the light would be pretty equal amongst them as long as they were equally spaced out, correct, right?
No, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, equal amounts of light.
Yeah, equal amounts of lights.
Not wells direction, are though.
No, yeah, equals amount of lights. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but not direction.
Yeah, but the equal amount of light.
Yeah.
Right? But now, let's just say if this piece of paper starts to have a bit of a curve... The light would be a bit spread out more, don't you think?
Yeah,
the light's not going to reach, or at least most of that light won't reach the well in the bottom left corner of your paper that's being curved off to the side because it's curved and it's not directly hitting that
light. Yeah, sorry, okay, I wasn't thinking, I was just having a stroke, but think about it, yeah, okay.
And now the Greeks then took that information, they measured about the trigonometry of the light and the trigonometry of the shadow. And they put that together.
The angles of the shadow.
Yeah, the angles.
And then just...
Put that together, made an assumption that the Earth must be curved.
Isn't it funny how much smarter than they were back then than we give? I don't know why society has such a bad stereotype about ancient people. We think they're idiots, but they're not. They were figuring out all this stuff. They figured out the concept for an atom. Yeah. An atom. How would anyone even think about that?
Yeah, back then, especially with no technology at all. Exactly. We really undermine our ancient ancestors. So good on you, Greeks. Good on you. So now the Greeks have figured it out. They've come to the prediction, right?
Zach?
Yeah?
Would it kill you to explain a little bit of that trigonometry, just how it works? Just calculating the actual curvature based on...
They take the angles and they add them up to make a circumference, do they not? They take all the angles of the shadow.
I guess you would. Isn't it funny how... Don't they have... Didn't the Greeks have gods at the corners of the earth, though?
Oh, I wouldn't know. I'm not a Greek mythologist.
Mythologist,
that's it.
But that, I think the point is, that's when we...
They figured it out.
But another thing, I will get into this far more because there's a lot of problems with this, but just some basic stuff with the Greeks. Imagine you have... Okay, so you have stars above you, and right. If you walk far enough north... The stars that are on the horizon will dip below the horizon. You'll no longer be able to see them.
Exactly which star you're looking at.
Yeah, and the Greeks did. That was one of the only things they could really do in looking at the sky.
Looking at the sky and looking at wells.
And if you saw if you actually walked far enough north, you would not be able to see the North Star anymore. If you walked down to the equator, got down to Africa or something.
You'd see a different set of star patterns in the sky.
You just could... You would notice this. It was no way... to think about. And the reason people say, if we're spinning, you can't see, shouldn't the stars be moving across our sky? Yes, if you look at a long exposure photo.
Yeah, take a time lapse.
You will see them move across the sky. But the reason that it's not very noticeable, they're the same place every night, is because you don't see them during the brightest part of the day, when they're right directly with the sun. You see them pointing away from the sun, and during the day you can't tell that they've moved completely in our perspective.
Yeah, because the sun's light's blocking it out.
And we're staring, we're staring exactly at the sun, and if the sun wasn't there, we'd see a whole set of new stars.
Yeah, which is, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Damn it, sun, you're our whole potential of seeing all these stars.
Yeah, you only give us life, I mean.
Yeah, jeez.
Get out of the way.
Stars are life, come on.
So it's just very easy. I will get into that, but it just doesn't make sense. And one more thing. So until the 16th century, I think, roughly, was that when Galileo was around, 16th century? The world was considered to be the center of the universe, geocentric.
Yeah, and they didn't really listen to the Greeks. They just thought the earth was flat.
Well, listened to the Greeks.
And then they just killed them all.
No. I think.
Well, yeah, they did kill them all.
No, you can have a circular earth that still is...
flat.
That is still the center of the universe.
I know, but yeah, but...
No, what are you saying, Zach?
They killed so many people.
That's not what I'm concerned about.
But that's what I'm saying.
No, what I'm saying is they believed in a circular earth. They just didn't believe in the fact that an earth was the planet.
What do you mean? They burned people at the stake for saying the earth was round.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. Max, come on, you should... You've watched Cosmos. You watched that one. There was that one animation where they burned the guy at the stake because he figured out the earth was round.
No, it was already accepted.
It was not accepted. Well, maybe in the 1600s, but before that, they still burned people at the stake for it. It was still a widely known thing. If you spoke out against the church and the church said the earth was flat, and if you said it was round, then you would be burned at the stake.
Gallo said that it was about the center of the earth. It was...
Well, yeah, they came to the conclusion after Christopher Columbus.
Because... No, but his idea was... It was different than just the fact that... He never said it was flat. He just said that sky dome. He said that the universe was infinite and other solar systems exist. I don't know if he agreed with... I think he was also proposing a Copernican theory. He was not saying the earth was flat.
Yeah, I never said Galileo was.
No, I said Bruno, the guy that was burned, Giordano Bruno. He was not saying the earth was flat.
No, yeah, he said it was round and that's why he was burned.
No, he was not saying the earth was round. He probably said it, but he was not burned for that reason. He was burned for saying the universe was infinite and that other solar systems exist. He was saying that we're not special. It was not that the earth was circular. It was already accepted.
No. Well,
yes, you, yes, it was.
I'm can you are you you can't deny that people were burnt at the stake for believing the earth was round. That's a fact.
Oh my god.
That's a fact, and facts don't care about your feelings, Max.
I don't. Okay, Max, calm down. When was the earth accepted
to be round?
As round.
Well, it wasn't for a long time.
Until the 3rd century, when it was established that it was spherical. It was 100% established. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, Zach, you're just like everyone else, thinking our ancestors were idiots. When what? it's common to believe that, but it's not true. Many people, lots of people, including the church, believe that the earth was spherical.
Well, there's just far too. Columbus was trying to sail around the flat earth. That's what he believed. Columbus didn't know any better.
How was he going to sail around a flat earth?
They're not that smart back then. He was trying to just go around. No,
he wasn't. He thought there was a way to go all the way around because it was a circular earth.
Yeah.
The whole myth that perhaps his crewmates were very uneducated and they thought the earth was flat and that's why they threatened mutiny.
Well, that's why Portugal also threw him out of the window when he came and begged for him to sail around the globe earth because they didn't believe it.
I believe that they did because... he understood it, evidently.
Did he now?
I really want to search this up, but it's too much effort, and I should know this crap. I'm just going to say that, at least, I think the thing that we can decide on is that we now know the Earth is circular, but we'll get to why.
Yeah.
Spherical, sorry. But the thing I'm trying to say is about geocentric theory, that the Earth was the center of the universe. Doesn't matter if we thought it was flat or circular, until the 16th century, it was considered that the Earth was the center of the universe.
Yeah,
this is why Bruno was burned, because, well, at least one part that we can guarantee, because it came up when I searched it, that he thought that we were just one of another solar system, that we were not special, we were not the center. It's a Copernican theory.
But that's against the church.
That's against the church.
Send them to the stake. Burn them. Witch.
Exactly. And... basically, the flat earth theory only works. It does not work in another... It does not work as a heliocentric theory because the whole point is everything revolves around us. And we'll get into that. But they can only have a geocentric theory. It just doesn't work.
Because look at it. No, we don't see any other flat objects. Everything else is a circle. Why are we not?
Well, I don't know. I mean, see, the thing is, if those objects are spherical, that means gravity has to exist there. And why would gravity exist everywhere else than here?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Oh, man.
Questions all of their logic really fast. But yeah, now moving into their model, I think we'll leave a link of...
Models? There's not one model they can accept.
Yeah, we'll leave a link of a picture of the main model I think most of them use. But that's also another one of their problems, is that they... At least, I've talked to, I've went on a couple Discord servers, I've talked to a flat earther, and I asked him, which model does he, agree on, and then I sent him a picture of the one that we'll link down, and he couldn't tell me.
This one, we want to pull this?
Yeah, that's the one. He couldn't tell me which one, he just said he didn't know. And it's crazy to me that you can just contradict, we have come to the conclusion of a round earth, we've made countless maps that work precisely to calculations to scale, but they can't come up with one that they all agree on.
It is silly. And I think the thing that it makes globe theory or spheres theory so solid is the fact that one theory, it counts for everything.
One map. You can make any prediction on one, or at least a calculation. You can drive from... We'll go to Vancouver to New York. You can look at the scale on that map, and you can estimate the amount.
Well, it's not just scale. You can explain weather. You can explain this day and night. We'll get into all those things. But a flat Earth, they need separate models to explain all that. Not even to mention the fact that you just brought up that they don't even have a theory that allows you to have all those that don't even have scale on them.
If you click on the link in of the image down below, you'll see that the Pacific Ocean is oddly large. Very, very oddly large. That's very big.
There's so much space here. I'm looking at this.
And on this map image that we're you should check out, there's no real scale. So you can't actually predict, on an actual globe Earth map, you can make a prediction of down to the kilometer how far a distance is across the Pacific Ocean, for say. But on this globe Earth, or flat Earth, like, there's no scale. It doesn't actually give you a proper way of telling you how far these two things are apart. It's just an image, really. Yeah. It's hard to even consider this a map.
Oh, man. It just looks completely silly.
And that's, like, it seems as if you could go, or at least a trip from South Africa to, like, Chile, for say, would take a lot longer than a trip from, say, Moscow to, like, Toronto.
But...
well, it just looks like...
because that looks like you can fly right over this top. And I think if you have, if you think about a real round Earth, the distances between, the tip of Africa with Johannesburg, aren't they running out of water down there?
Yeah, but that's a different topic.
That's a different topic. And Chile, if you think about a globe, those two pieces, the globe starts narrowing again down at the end. So that distance is smaller than the distance between that's Brazil, I think, and the tip of Africa, because that's at the widest part of the globe, so it's the farthest distance.
Yeah.
So this map is just, the scale doesn't work. That's the reason that they don't have
a scale. The scale doesn't work, and yeah, so they don't have a scale because they don't want to prove themselves wrong. Because they don't have a scale.
But, okay, I want to talk about the day-night model. Or model, shall I say. So, we have so many problems with this, but we'll get into this. So, first off, we have the fact... so, let's say it's an eclipse. It's a solstice. So, equal day and night everywhere, right? Yeah. So, oh, God. This is hard to explain, because...
on this model, it doesn't really work now, does it?
Okay, so... imagine you draw an imaginary line across the center. Now, this already brings up a lot of problems, but just do this.
Yeah, you've just got a line.
I really suggest you pull up an image of this, as I said, link down below.
Yeah, so then you can be following along as we do this little day and night experiment.
We'll just cut
it in half, really.
Draw an imaginary line and put a sun on one side and a moon on the other. This is how they say it.
Yeah, that's how... their model would work.
And now this already raises quite a few problems, because if you have this exact line right here in the middle, and the sun here, that means its light is going traveling really far to one corner of the Earth.
Yeah, the sun is on, we'll just say the sun's on the right and the moon's on the left, and the sun on the right is putting light all the way up to the corner.
It can travel all the way to the tip of Johannesburg from where it is, which is, I'm going to say it's situated right over India, I think that is, or no, where's that?
That's probably India. I think it's India.
So if it's over India, it goes X amount of miles this way, X minus a certain amount.
To the center.
To the center. And why does it stop exactly at the center but keeps going this way?
Yeah, that's the flat Earth day and night model. There's basically, well, when we told you to draw that line down the middle, that's the line of where the light would stop. But why?
The thing is... okay, so now it's winter in the northern hemisphere because it's okay, let me explain the seasons in a real globe. Okay.
In a globe Earth.
I don't know where to start here. Okay, day and night first. The Earth, what's more, so my favorite philosophical razor, I'm going really all over the place, but is Occam's razor, because the simplest answer is often most true. But what's more likely? The sun is somewhere hovering up here. And also, a thing about the sun and the moon before we get into this, it is very small comparatively, but closer. This will prevent it from actually spreading out across the entire plane. But it still won't make sense why it's not a circle of light, like a spotlight, instead of...
but it spreads everywhere.
Instead of having one line. But anyways, so day and night, on a globe model, it means we spin around, the sun is still, we spin around, and the side that's facing the sun, that is day and night. And this will make sure that it's exactly one half is day and exactly one half is night.
Yeah.
And you don't need to draw an imaginary line. There is a real line between what the sun can see. Who can see the sun? Obviously, there is a little bit of refraction in the atmosphere, but it's not to the... flat earthers love to use refraction.
Yeah.
But their refraction just can't exist. And if refraction worked that way to a close object like the sun, well, then shouldn't planes get refracted and stuff?
Everything should be refracted then.
But it doesn't matter. And it refracts even more than regular water. Like, it refracts more than water, and air is far less dense than water, so therefore it shouldn't refract as much.
Yeah, well, so that just beats again, how is it refracting when this is true?
So anyways, it's winter, and Earth is tilted. That's how we have our seasons.
Yeah.
One half is tilted. Okay, so have your circle, and tilt it one way.
Tilt it forwards, leaning forward.
like the bottom half forwards.
Yeah.
Now you'll notice that the bottom half forward, the heat will be spread out in let it will be spread out less, whereas the top half that's spread out more, the same thin stroke will be spread out more because of the tilt leaning backwards. It means the heat will be dispersed more over the like the same ray of heat because the Earth's tilt allows it to be spread out in more locations because it's tilted that way. Whereas when it's tilted, the bottom straight half up. Is tilted forwards.
Yeah.
This means that, in fact, more area, like one beam of light will be more concentrated.
Wow.
And so this is less heat equals winter, more heat equals summer, right?
That's why we have poles, because it's colder down there, because there's less heat that makes it there.
And, but also, during these winter and summer months, they're not solstice. There's different amounts of time. However, the time is equal and opposite. So, man. Oh, man. Why did I get myself into this? Zach, sometimes.
You're going down a very big hole here.
Okay.
It's going to be hard to dig yourself back up.
But, okay. So, when you have the top half gets, like, the summer half will get the sun longer just because the fact that it's tilted towards it. Well, the winter half will get it far less. In fact, the North Pole sometimes has full days without sun.
There's places in Antarctica, or at least even in Alaska, where the sun won't shine for maybe a couple months, I think.
And then in the summer they get the midnight sun. And it means that there has to be, so when it is winter in North America, that means there'll be less sun there because it's tilted away. And its rotations are smaller and pointing away, so, you know. And the higher up north you are, it's just the more tilted away you are and the less the sun sees you until eventually you do get to the actual geo-north pole.
Right.
In opposed to the magnetic north pole. And I'm looking at a flat earth model trying to picture this as a earth model, but I can't show you a south pole if you're looking at this flat earth model.
There really is no south pole.
Which we'll everything get, is we'll a get south to pole. That later, but then the South Pole, well, it's facing the sun a lot more, and if you're actually on the exact South Pole, well, you'll get the sun forever because you'll be always tilted towards the sun. That is the clearest way to explain it. Does that make sense to you, Zach?
The more time you see light, the hotter it will be.
And because, Zach, you're on the South Pole here, and I tilt you this way, well, now, no matter which way you rotate,
the sun
you're won't. Still facing the sun. Yeah. You still get the sun. Sure, it might dip down a little bit and come back up, but you will have sun.
Yeah, sun.
All day.
There's always sun.
Now, in the flat Earth model, it just doesn't make sense because
there's no South Pole.
There is no South Pole. So, now let's just make a imaginary cut from, if hopefully you're looking at this, but if not, just draw a small circle that can be our equator. For
somewhere that would like run where the equator would be.
Just like pick, I'm looking at the tip of Mexico, then through like the bottom half of Europe, and then around cutting below kind of India and
the
China.
The equator.
Yeah, the equator. Picture where the equator is on this highly diluted map. Dilated or diluted? Diluted. Now, this is what it would be like on the solstice. Everyone gets equal amounts of sun. But now it's winter in the northern hemisphere, and it's summer in the southern hemisphere. So that means more sun in the southern hemisphere and less sun in the northern hemisphere. So that means you have to pull the sun away, outside to a orbit that is farther outside from the equatorial orbit. That's probably not a real word, is it?
Probably not.
And it has to go around this outside one, so less light for the center and more light for the inside. Now, it has to be an equal amount, so that means, it has to be sun all day if there's going to be no sun in the center. And I guess it moves out more and more, but that just doesn't make sense, because now it has to move back in, and how is it doing this?
Yeah, they can't explain the true orbit of a flat Earth sun.
One last thing before we move to a new model, new model being a new way to explain it. If you have the sun at the center,
well, that means North Pole then with a bunch of ice.
And how do day and night work if you have all day sun in the center? That means that the sunlight extends past the day night line. Like, come on.
Yeah, they can't. Their one argument is to just keep changing the way they would view it.
Or they have multiple models. This is why they can't have a day night model and a season model working together, because then you end up with this problem.
Yeah, because there really isn't one. They can't work together in the same way. But when you look at a globe Earth model, it works perfectly and all the models come together as one, and it works, but it doesn't work for the flat Earth model.
Okay, now I want to explain the Coriolis effect, and then Zach, I want you to talk about a direct flight from Australia to Brazil.
All right, yeah, I'll go on to that.
Because, you know, we're going to fly there, record a podcast over there, so you got to look at some prices. Tell me.
Yeah, I'll talk about the plane tickets, obviously.
Tell me the estimated travel time between there and back after.
Yeah, I'll look into that for sure.
But anyways, so the Coriolis effect is the reason that hurricanes spin. They spin differently in the middle. They spin clockwise in the northern hemisphere and counterclockwise in the southern hemisphere, I think. Wait.
Well, one of those is a cyclone.
Wait, I'm just trying to think. The sun goes east to west, meaning we rotate towards the west.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we rotate towards the west. Okay, that makes sense. Just checking. I don't know how many people actually think about it. We just think sun goes east to west, and it's really us that goes east to west.
East to west, if there really is an east to west in space.
Yeah. But we are the ones that are doing the moving. It's very... We have some old terms like sunset and stuff that we really shouldn't use.
Yeah. They're kind of outdated.
Very outdated. But anyways, we're moving this... We're moving towards the west. And you might notice very quickly... I'm just going to try and describe this the best. While you are moving west, the hurricanes on the top, they spin outwards from the center line of movement in a clockwise fashion. Which looks like you're spinning this way, and the spin on the top half moves them out and back, like pushing, like you spin, it pushes the top into spinning clockwise, and on the bottom, it would spin the opposite direction because you're pushing it out. As it rotates, the air would spin in this direction. And the same thing with water down a drain. It's just a thing with rotating bodies. In fact, in Australia, the U.S. Embassy went so far to make it feel like the U.S. that they actually put in a special device to make sure that the water would spin the right way so people would feel like they're still in the U.S.
Wow, because everywhere should be the U.S.
Don't say that.
That's like wishing upon hell.
That is just scary stuff. So that's the Coriolis effect. And the only way that they can explain it is that the sun and the moon... The moon goes clockwise, and it goes in the northern hemisphere, and it spins around the northern hemisphere.
Right.
Generating the clockwise spin there, and the sun goes... Wait, no. The sun goes clockwise, because that's the way we would view it, I think.
Well, yeah, it just brings up a lot of questions, because now how does that sun...
So the sun goes clockwise, and the moon goes the other direction, and this makes it so the Coriolis effect works for them. They say that the sun... pushes the air in a certain direction, and the moon pulls it in the other direction, right?
But now how does that same how sun does that and moon work? Movement fit with the seasons and the and the day and
Don't
night?
Even ask, Zach.
It doesn't.
Because then the sun has to move into the moon track, and...
Well, this doesn't fit. But if Zach, you lay them over top, they
won't
fit.
According to the Coriolis effect, there's very strong wind speeds around the outside, up to 240 miles per hour, which is just hurricane speed.
Right.
And... before the Flat Earther said you could not travel from Australia or from Brazil to Australia. But now they say the wind speeds are so great that it allows you to do this trip. Because if you wanna reference back to this, Brazil all the way to Australia, wow, what a distance.
Yeah, wow, that's a long way to go.
But they said there's a huge jet stream. So Zach, did you look up those plane tickets?
No, I didn't look up the plane tickets, but I do have some information. They say jet streams are basically, the easiest way to travel. Yeah, and you have to travel in a jet stream, which is true. It does get you there quicker. But I'm pretty sure they also say that you can't travel back into a jet stream.
The fact that you're supposed to take off into a headwind, because if you have a tailwind, it can blow you off course. The same thing as when you're going down a river. It actually would be nicer to go... You got to go faster than the river in order to have control. So if the tailwind is going faster than you are, it could blow you out of control. You won't have control, so it's better to go in headwind. But that's so off topic. I'm not sure why I said that. I just know these random facts. My head's a little bit screwed up. It's okay. Yeah.
So, they say you want to travel in the jet stream, but then they also say you can't travel the opposite way through the jet stream, which is just completely false. People do that all the time. Sorry, Max. Do you know which way the jet stream goes... I'm pretty sure it goes west.
In the southern hemisphere?
At least for us. If I wanted to go from Vancouver to Toronto, it'd be a west or an east jet stream. Well,
it doesn't matter on the inside because... Are we talking about the flat Earth model?
No, on a globe model. I'm pretty sure the Toronto, the Vancouver...
Well, jet streams don't matter too much in our world.
I know, I'm just trying to prove them wrong. Say, if it goes east, then no planes would ever come from Toronto to Vancouver.
Yeah.
But they do on a daily basis.
According to the flat earthers, Zach, according to the flat earthers, the jet speed isn't as strong in the northern hemisphere. That's because everything's closer. But on the outside, it's a lot faster. But Zach, this brings up the problem. If you go from Brazil to Australia, and you go a path on the way back, avoiding the obviously enormous
ocean.
Pacific Ocean, or if you're going one way, you just can't go the other way, because the jet stream would be too strong to go the other way, and the travel time is the exact same, pretty much, down to a few minutes. Obviously, that's
the jet stream. But they say it's basically impossible, and that it doesn't happen. But
it obviously does.
It does. They just want to. They choose to ignore that fact.
So, I think that brings our end to our models. So when we come back, we're going to talk about gravity and other outrageous claims that they have. And also just try and prove this to you once and for all that the Earth is circular. Hopefully we don't actually need to do that.
Yeah, but just in case, you're still on the line about which one you think. But hopefully you're far away.
We're not going to impose this on you, but we want you to think critically.
Yes, critical thinking.
So we'll be right back.
All right.
All right, we're back. Zach, you feeling good still?
I'm still feeling good. Hopefully, we in the second half we can push people over the edge. Flat Earth joke right there.
I got it. I got that, Zach, because they have an edge model. No, they don't, Zach.
They don't.
Antarctica is infinite.
Yeah, and I think that brings us to our first outrageous claim.
Well, Zach, one thing I just thought of.
All right.
The ancients believed in a flat Earth, if they actually believed in the flat Earth that you think they still believed until the 16th century, they would have believed in one not like this flat Earth model, but they would have believed in one like if you stretched out a globe.
Yeah. That
would have actually had an edge, and that way you wouldn't have actually been able to sail around the world, because there would be an actual edge. Whereas the flat Earth model, I credit it for this,
solves that problem.
It solves that problem. But
then
I think,
again, at the cost of a massive Pacific Ocean.
It has so many costs, Zach. What are you talking about? It has so many costs. You know, the other model would be far better, because you could actually describe sunsets. A huge problem that comes up with flat earthers.
Yes.
Because the way their sun moves, you would never see it set. You would just see it disappear into the distance.
Yeah, it would slowly get smaller and further away as it's becoming smaller because it gets going further away until you just don't see it anymore, and then the moon would pop.
At least the ancients model, it would go over top, but then... Actually, no, it wouldn't work. Forget what I said.
Yeah, but obviously, if you just take a look outside your window around like 7 o'clock... sun dips over the horizon, but that's just physically impossible for a flat Earth model, unless the sun is on the outside and it's actually going under the model.
Yeah, but then that wouldn't work.
That doesn't work for all other aspects of their model, so that's just thrown out the window there.
And if their model, let's say refraction causes the sun to look like it's setting, well then a plane heading into the distance should look like it's setting.
Yeah, but if you follow a plane, for instance, it won't actually set. It'll just get smaller until it becomes out of your view, because the plane is not as far away as the sun.
Now, two other things that come up when we talk about sunsets that make you think of it is solar eclipses and how we see the Earth's shadow on the moon, okay?
Right,
and,
yeah.
You know, lunar eclipses, but I told you, Zach, that, and I'm telling the viewers now, but... You know, it's not always a lunar eclipse.
But
there's always a shadow on the moon.
But the lunar eclipses are big.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't you just give a quick...
If you're on the moon, you would get a Earth eclipse, where the Earth would eclipse the sun.
The sun. Oh, wow. That'd be a fun sight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It actually wouldn't be that cool, because we don't have an atmosphere, so it'd just look... Like, if you're on the moon, it wouldn't look that cool.
Oh, disappointing.
I know. It's really disappointing.
All right, well, why don't you just explain a quick solar eclipse for those still not knowing.
So a solar eclipse is when the sun is eclipsed by the moon traveling in front of the sun.
Yeah, so the moon goes in front of the sun, right? And it blocks out all the sun's light, so we don't see it, right?
Yeah.
So now, let's just take a quick trip back to our flat Earth model.
And let me just say it even more stupidly. Sun, moon, Earth. Bam.
Yeah, but on this model, the sun is significantly smaller than the Earth. And, apparently, according to them...
The moon is even smaller, but they're on the same plane.
They're on the same
plane.
And
they just move around this way. They move around on this plane just rotating.
Rotating.
They would
together.
Never cross. How do they even explain when the moon? I can see. I'm going to actually go out and check if I can see the moon because I've been seeing it pretty early and late in the morning, actually.
Yeah, well, oh my, he's actually trying to climb the window. So when you actually.
Okay, I can't see it now, but I've been seeing the moon either early in the morning or early at night. And the thing is, it's just because it doesn't always line up the same time. The Earth rotates around the Earth at a different speed than the way we spin, so sometimes you'll end up seeing it in the middle of the day, and this is when you will get these eclipses.
Yeah.
Now, for the flat Earth model, how do you explain for that?
You can't, because apparently, according to them, they follow they're like in a locked rotation that is supposed to predict all of seasons, but when you give them other questions... It can't follow the same model, which is, it's completely outrageous. They can't explain it.
And, just to top that, the moon would have to be, if it is actually smaller than the sun, which I don't know if they explain it as smaller or not, but it would have to be the exact same size if they're operating on the same plane to actually block it out.
Yeah, and it would probably have to be a bit farther away, too.
Yeah, well, it'd have to be closer to us.
Yeah, and it would also, with flat Earth.
Yeah, it would have to be closer to us, or the sun would have to be farther away. One
yeah,
of the two.
One or the other. So that just doesn't work.
It just doesn't work.
And now what about a lunar eclipse?
Well, that's lunar eclipse, or even just the different phases of the moon, is caused by the Earth's shadow upon the moon. That's
right.
The sun casting a shadow.
So and now how would that work with this flat Earth model?
I'm looking at the flat Earth model, and it makes no sense.
Yeah, there's really no way to...
Now, if they wanted to create a model, they could put the sun really far out... And then...
But they don't.
The moon on the other side, but just hypothetically speaking.
All right, hypothetically speaking, we'll go with that.
Now, this means that the Earth always has to be... No, it just doesn't work, actually.
Yeah, it just doesn't... It really just doesn't work.
Because, first of all, unless the moon would have to be on the bottom side of the Earth and the sun on the top side in order for the Earth to actually cast a shadow onto the bottom side and create a perfect circular shadow upon the moon, because otherwise it would just be a line, a shadow of a line or... You know, it would have to be only one angle to find that circle. And it just doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work. If any flat earthers listening, please email us at toomaxpodcast09@gmail.com. And just try and explain to us how you see a solar eclipse or
and
a
even
lunar
if you're
eclipse.
Not a flat earther, why don't you try and figure this out and email us at toomaxpodcast09@gmail.com.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, I just can't find a way to explain this.
They don't work. I've never
None
heard
of their that. Models are compatible. That's the point.
Yeah. And now, just first a little... Not even, this one's barely even scientific at all. I just want to talk about how flat earthers view Antarctica. And so, I've talked to a few.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, I've talked to a few of them. And, there's some that say there's the big ice wall and that... Well, apparently no one's ever seen it. But there's an ice wall that's stopping you from going over the edge. But, it doesn't take a genius to just go to Antarctica. You can literally get a job down there.
Or you can fly or take a cruise.
Yeah, and you can look around and there's no ice wall.
Lo and behold, oh, big surprise.
There's no massive, towering, lumbering ice that's blocking, like, all of the radiation of space.
I'm surprised.
I know, big shocker. But then I've also talked to another one, and he said... That Antarctica goes on
infinitely. Infinitely, but in a finite space somehow.
Yeah. And then I asked him, can you show me a model of what this would look like? And he couldn't tell me. But it's just... Come on, no... People have been to the South Pole. those weren't government officials. Those were people who set out on a journey.
And, like, also, sure, they could be monitoring us, but they have to have a missile ready to launch to prevent me from looking. They have to be there. And I've never seen any government base. In fact, the Antarctica Treaty, which I so often reference, actually prevents them from having military bases down in Antarctica.
Exactly.
Not the other way around.
But, yeah, another thing they do say is that all the world officials and world leaders... and all, like, the military, they're all in on the secret.
The problem is...
They're all in on it.
There's two problems with this. One, conspiracy theorists think that the government is an idiot, and they don't like the government, and they don't trust the government, and they think they're an idiot. And how would they be so idiotic if they could keep this entire thing under wraps?
Yeah, there's so much... Well, just imagine trying to, like, if anyone ever found out, they'd kill them, they'd, like, lock them up just so the secret wouldn't get out. But no one's really gone missing in Antarctica. And you think we would hear about them. Like, someone's family wouldn't come home. You'd have to kill every single person they know. So that no one would know. And that's just... It's a completely impossible task. And that they... Not one person
has leaked it. The probability of that actually happening...
All the world leaders, all the military specialists...
Everyone's in it.
And all not, the politicians.
Not one person... So, okay, space agencies are apparently money laundering. That's where they launder money... All the money just goes to, you know, faking...
Paying off actors,
faking stuff, and just giving it to the government officials to make more money. But if that's true, how has not one astronaut told them?
Yeah, how has none of that came out?
Not one person. One. Just takes one. No one from the original Apollo team went to... They all went to the Mars... They all went to the moon, sorry. And not one of them told us that it was a fake?
Yeah, why would... they? And that brings us to our next point. What are they trying to hide? Like, what is the point in keeping this from everyone?
Well, I don't see the point.
Yeah, there's really, like, what is there, what is there to gain by not telling us that the Earth is actually flat? What is there truly to gain? Like, what is just so just tending to you that you just don't want everyone to know? If that was the case, like, why would you not want to tell anyone?
Exactly. And also, Zach... Physicist. Every law of physics doesn't work. So they're all being paid off to be doing absolutely nothing.
All scientists.
Why would the government pay them? All astrophysics. Like, Neil's just getting paid to do absolutely nothing.
I mean, I'd take that money, to be fair.
I'd take the money, but why would they pay them? They shouldn't even pay them. They have to be so committed to the amount of money that they would be losing in paying off these astrophysicists.
It's just not worth it.
The whole space museum. It's all a fraud. Why would they even have that? It's losing money, because... And, like, especially in countries that have free museums, you're making no money from it.
Yeah, it's just, well, it's completely just unreasonable, the
fact
that they
do that. Sorry, guys, if I'm quiet, by the way, it's just because I'm walking around the room ranting.
Yeah, it's completely just unreasonable, the amount of money gone into this, just to hide the fact that the Earth is flat. Like, there's no reason for any of this. It's just completely unreasonable. Why would anyone... Like, why? Just why? There's no reason to keep this from people. But they seem to think there is.
I really don't understand it. I mean, I want someone to explain it to me, but I don't, really. I think the thing is, I've learned about this, about journalism. You really can't let them get on the airwaves, because it's dangerous.
It's very dangerous, especially...
And people say, quality of speech. No, it doesn't matter. If there is something that is completely incorrect... Like, you won't let a terrorist get on and explain why he bombed the World Trade Center. No, you don't do that, because that is just insane. Sure, political thing, because that is just... You have your own personal truth about it. But a fundamental truth, like terrorism is bad, you don't let a terrorist on. You don't let a flat earther on, because it's a fundamental truth that the Earth is round.
Yeah, and that it brings up to the point how dangerous the internet can be and how... Anyone can share their opinion and usually not be held accountable for it. We talked about this in the last episode about the dangers of the internet. And it just, you see, well, they have the Flat Earth Society Twitter page that is completely ranting about everything. And no one really holds them accountable for it. It's sad at a point. And it just shows anyone can have a platform to speak their mind. And they can gain a following of people that will start to believe them just based off what they say.
Let's see what the Flat Earth Society has to say. Ooh, it's a guy at NASA! Wow! What's this? Forum. Oh, it's just a Flat Earth Forum. Wow, they have a forum. Oh, here's another one of their models. Great, I'm gonna also post this one.
It just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. here's the Great Antarctic Ice Wall. This brings up another question. If it's flat, that means space doesn't exist, really, because everything is just orbiting independently.
It's all a simulation.
So how does space exist? How do? What are we standing on?
Well, you're asking the wrong guy. I don't know.
Exactly.
They can't answer it either. So it's really, you won't ever get an answer for it. And it's just so dangerous. Okay,
so let's talk about gravity. Because this is one of the things. They say the Earth is accelerating upwards
at 9.8 miles per second
meters
squared.
Meters per second. Yeah, not miles. That's
insane.
I haven't been speaking well. But so they say this accounts for gravity. There's no downward force. There's an upward force.
Yeah. But I can jump.
Okay, no, that is true. I want to say that is true. Because, Zach, you can jump. You can jump with a force pulling 9 meters per second down. You have inertia. The inertia of...
Fair enough, yeah. I think that's one of their best claims.
That's one of their best claims. But the problem is...
But it still doesn't work.
It just doesn't work. I actually applaud them for that because it makes sense.
But applaud them. They say a bunch of numbers.
Yeah.
It's not really... It's scientific.
The problem is they use... What I've learned is a lot of conspiracy theorists, they just use scientific words to bridge a gap between two completely unrelated ideas.
Yeah, they'll say all these fancy words and expect you to believe them because
it's the shock factor. Big numbers and scientific words make you feel like they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They don't.
But do you want to just explain how the gravity on the flat Earth moving up at 9.8 meters per second doesn't work?
Oh, it does. It completely works.
Oh, it does?
If we were living on an actual flat Earth and it's accelerating at that speed, we would experience exact same gravity.
But then explain other objects with gravity. How would that work?
Well, then that doesn't work. That doesn't work because the moon would smash into us unless it was also accelerating at that speed. Everything would have to be accelerating up, and that means...
And then also moving around at the same time.
Oh, man.
Then what is down? Is there no down possible because everything
is... So is down the past, Zach, and up is the future. Oh, man.
Flat Earth, it's getting to our head.
I really should cleanse. We're going to end this soon. But yeah. Two things. They make the claim we would fall off the Earth if it was spinning. And this brings me to bring up inertial reference frames, one of my favorite things to talk about when it comes to flat earthers. And it brings me up an example of you in the car. You have your phone out, like me. And yeah. being a dumb person, you're just... have one finger on it and you're throwing it up, and you realize, wait a minute, if I'm in a car
that's moving
and I'm throwing this phone up, shouldn't it go fly up and smack into my face?
Well, now if your car per se is moving at a constant speed,
let's say 40 miles per hour,
your car is constantly moving at 40 miles per hour,
that means you're also moving at 40 miles per hour and your phone is. You all have the same inertial reference frame. Everything.
But now let's just say the car slows down or it speeds up.
If it speeds up, then it will be slammed backwards because it has less inertia, and until it reaches the same amount of inertia again...
And is that the same reason why if I step on the gas, I'll be flung back into my seat because the car speeds up?
It's the G's. You're experiencing more gravity pushing, or more G's pushing you backwards because your acceleration... Acceleration is when you feel that push backwards because its inertia is faster than you at a certain time, and then it slows down again as you equalize. Right. And the same thing with deacceleration. When you're on a spaceship, you actually wouldn't notice it until you either accelerated or deaccelerated. The people on the International Space Station, they still have gravity affecting them, but it's just because they have their own inertial reference frame along with the space station. They're always moving. But do you notice that the space station is moving? No, not really.
Not when you're on it. When you look at it.
It comes to two things. One, our perception. We can't actually really tell it's moving. Instead, it looks like the Earth is moving. And the same thing when you're on a big cruise ship. You can't really tell it's left. And also, you all have the same inertial reference frame. The same thing with the Earth. The same thing with the solar system. The same thing with the galaxy. Same thing with your car. Oops, that's my phone.
Yeah, so that's why I could do a backflip off of one of those like flat trucks that's got like the big board.
And first, you have to know how to do a backflip.
If I knew how to do a backflip, I could do it. But I can do a backflip, assuming the car is going to keep the same speed.
Exact same speed, which is very difficult with a human driver, but
it's possible,
especially self-driving cars.
Yeah. It's possible. And, well, the Earth is obviously moving at a constant speed. It's not speeding up or slowing down any time.
That's why we can't tell anything different.
But if it did...
Obviously, if you go down to the equator, you are spinning faster because it's larger. It's more oblong at the equator.
Yeah.
But you don't notice that. It's very small. You'd weigh, like, a pound less.
Yeah.
But that's not... That's the thing. You really... These guys just... There's this thing called, what's it called? Frickin' Fracker. Zach, stall for a second.
Well, they just believe. They'll say all the special words to make you think they're, like, they have some sort of intelligence in what they're in the area that they study, but then when you actually look into what they have to say, it's just a bunch of nonsense. That's really what we're trying to get at here.
It's called something, and I'm trying to think of it. The Dunning-Kruger effect. Yes, this is what I'm thinking. It's a cognitive bias that basically, at the beginning, you think, so it's imagine a chart where the y-axis is confidence and the x-axis is competence. So the more you know goes to the right, the more confidence you have goes up. And you start off with zero knowledge, but a very high confidence.
Flat earther.
This is where most people are. And then, like me, when I start actually looking at astrophysics, the more you actually know about it, the more you realize you don't know anything.
Yeah,
so and then eventually you get to the experts who are on the frontier of their field, and you can see confidence will start going up again because they realize they are at the frontier of their field. They know everything that is known currently, and they're helping progress it. But people who know nothing often prove that they think they know the most. This is the Dunning-Kruger effect. I will also try and link this down below. So, in...
They're right at the start of this graph.
Anyways, that's just one more thing I had to say. And the last thing I want to say before we end, if this is okay, Zach.
Yeah.
To end us all.
Probably.
Is why can't you see Hamburg from the top of the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah, why don't... If I just climb up to Mount Everest, why can't I see my house?
Well, if it was a flat Earth, you should be able to see... Maybe not your house, that's a very far distance.
But you'd be able to see farther than
you. And especially if you had a telescope. Well, a telescope can see the stars. You should be able to see your house with a telescope, especially a good one.
Especially from
the top of the Eiffel Tower. You're very high up. Why can't you at least see, I don't know, using a telescope and a perfectly clear day, why can't you see some German cities?
Yeah.
It's only a little bit far to... It's France, in Germany. Europe is tiny. You should be able to see... pretty far.
But why can't you?
Zach, no one knows. No one knows.
No one knows.
In fact, I was looking at some Eiffel Tower pictures from the top, and obviously some of it could be just the distortion, but I did see a slight bit of curve.
Hear that, flat earthers? France is curved. Confirmed onto the max.
It's only France, though, Zach. It's only France.
Only France has a little curve.
Yeah.
Obviously.
No, Zach, it's actually just that France is,
It's got its own special place on the map.
Only special place. It exists in its own dimension.
Yeah.
Speaking of dimensions, look for a future podcast on that.
Yeah.
So I guess with that being said, guys, I hope you guys learned something.
Yeah, I hope you...
I hope you didn't learn... I hope you learned something, but I hope that you didn't need to learn anything. I think that's the true goal for this episode.
Yeah, I hope you already knew most of these points, and you didn't come into this a flat earther. I mean... Hopefully, if you did, you've switched back over. Because
or you want to email us. Yeah. We'd love to get in an email chain with you.
Yeah.
Just one more time to plug that. It's tothemaxpodcast09@gmail.com.
That's right.
And I'll also have a link. Obviously, I'll have an email down in the description of this episode.
Yeah, check that out.
So have a safe and fantastic rest of your day. Try and just... focus on the universe. Don't focus... Well, obviously, focus on the problems here. Try and fix them. But if you ever feel overwhelmed with the problems here on Earth, just remember, we're all going to die one day no matter what.
Yeah. No one's eternal. That's a great way to end it.
Even the universe. So, yeah. We're going to end it there. See you guys in another episode. Goodbye.